and good morning. You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from the unceded traditional territory of the Hukkamean-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Lucy, and you're listening to the Student Special Hour this morning, where we'll be talking to UBC Refugee Relief, as well as talking about a bunch of other events happening and going on this weekend. Before we get started with that, I thought I'd just play a bit of a tune to get everyone going this morning. Lots of great music is coming out for the summer, but this is one of my favorite bands, a Canadian band called Tokyo Police Club, that have a brand new album that just came out. So this is them, Tokyo Police Club with Not My Girl.
Show your love for Discorder Magazine at our fundraiser at the ANSA Club on Saturday, April 23rd. We've got one epic night planned with performances by Frog Eyes, Weird Candle, The Backhomes, Malcolm Jack, and Experience This, with special guest DJs and MCs to keep you dancing. There will also be a silent auction and a sale of exclusive back issues of Discorder Magazine from the 1980s to now, with all proceeds supporting the publication and printing costs of your free, independent Discorder Magazine. Tickets are $10 for CITR members, $15 in advance on brownpapertickets.com, or $18 at the door. Head over to discorder.ca for all the information.
All right. Hello and welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 and the Student Special Hour here this morning. This morning, I have the UBC Refugee Relief in the studio with me. How are you folks doing this morning?
Fantastic.
Great. Thanks.
Fantastic. Good to hear from you guys. And so I just want to learn a little bit about you. So what's going on with you and how did you get involved with this project?
So
So I'm a first year master's student here at UBC. And I think there's just a lot happening last fall with the refugee crisis. Or maybe there's a lot more in the media than usual. I think it's been happening for a while. But that did influence me as well, I guess. And I was really feeling the need to do something and to feel like I was actually finding a solution rather than just watching it passively. So I got together with a few other students here on campus, and we formed this group, UBC Refugee Relief. And we've been working since then to kind of try and find a concrete way to do something about it. And what we've decided is to sponsor a group of a family of eight from Syria who are currently living in Beirut. We know them through one of our group members. And yeah, they're just a really sweet, friendly family. It's three brothers, one sister, their spouses, and a little two-year-old girl. And we're raising money to try and sponsor them to come to Vancouver and to kind of start a new life and become part of our family here in Vancouver. So we're really excited about that.
Wow, what an incredible project that you're working on. And how did you get involved, Eric?
So kind of the same story for me, definitely just, you know, being influenced by the media and just reading about it, you know, and like just seeing the massive impact that, you know, Syrian refugees are having on different countries, and also seeing how different countries are being prepared, like, you know, seeing how Germany is having difficulty with integration and Turkey's just, you know, massively overwhelmed. And so it's kind of nice to be able to, be able to look at it from sort of an outside perspective and then just sort of jump into the mix and say, like, okay, here are the tools we know we have. Here's how we can help.
Absolutely. And how did you get involved?
All right. So I've heard about the program from my friends because they started first, and I've just joined them this term. And I was playing music at the Sound for Syria event, and they decided to invite me to their group so I'd help them prepare for more events, because a kind of part of welcoming the Syrian refugees is really understanding their culture, and music is a big part of their culture. And what's nice about music, it's kind of international language. You really don't need the language in order to understand that piece of literature. You just get to hear it and enjoy it. And so far, it's really awesome to work with those guys.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. And you're going to be playing a little bit for us a little bit later. Can you tell us a bit about this instrument that you brought today?
Yeah, it is called oud. So it is kind of similar to the guitar, but a little bit different. And it's more famous there in the Middle East, you know, in the Arabic countries, in Iran. And yeah, so it's really part of the culture itself.
Fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to hearing some of that little bit later. So I was just wondering a little bit about, what would you say is sort of, what kind of mandate do you follow? Or what sort of, how it guides your group day to day and throughout the year?
I think a really big part of our group is kind of the fact that a lot of people are involved in a way that they want to be involved. Because we kind of started in a very ad hoc way last fall, there wasn't really like a structure or so much of a leader or anything. It was just kind of, okay, we want to do something, what can we do, and how can we each use our own personal strengths to contribute to this group? So everyone, I think is kind of doing that and finding a way that they're interested in being involved and working in a way that they feel comfortable. So I think that's a really big part of our group, and that's something that I really enjoy, being able to do what you like and when you can. And that's really important to us.
And what is the structure of your group set up like? Do you work in a hierarchical standard sort of group setting, or it sounds like you have a little bit of a different group dynamic?
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, we had a really big introductory meeting. And at that meeting, we decided we're going to focus on sponsoring this family. And we're going to do it by holding several fundraising events throughout the year. And we kind of split off into different groups around these different fundraising events. So we've already had most of them. We had a really beautiful Sound for Syria music event in February. And then we had Cultural Events Week in March that went really well. We had a falafel sale and belly dancing and movie night and all kinds of things during that. And then now we're going to have on next Monday, we're going to have the gala. And so there's been different people working in each of these different groups. And they kind of hold their own meetings, and we come together once a week to kind of talk about everybody's needs and make sure everyone's doing okay and has everything.
That sounds like a great system where you sort of, everyone runs their own project, no one's more ahead than anyone else. What are your experiences, guys, with being in a group like that?
Well, I'm involved with the group that's actually organizing the gala. So yeah, it's really interesting just to see like all the different groups running in parallel and see each one just sort of come to fruition, and then we can all support them in that way. And now, I guess we're kind of the last group before the start of the summer. And
we're coming to a close here.
Exactly, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this gala that's coming up on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be run 5:30 to 9 at night, and it's going to be just an incredible event. So we've got like speakers who are going to be talking, like different professors who are, you know, well-versed in Middle Eastern, you know, culture and economics and just, you know, everything surrounding the Syrian refugee crisis. We're also going to have some fantastic Syrian food. So it's going to be prepared by the Kasba restaurant. And like, I don't know if you've ever had like Syrian-inspired food before, but it is incredible. Just like blows your palate off.
Wow, it sounds amazing. I know I've heard Kasba is supposed to be great. So that's a really great opportunity for people to both try this great food and come and support this project.
Exactly. Yeah, there's going to be lots of other stuff going on as well. There's going to be auctions and acoustic music played by Ahmed. And yeah, it's just going to be an all-around fantastic time.
All right. So just for everyone who's listening, that's going to be on Monday. And that's on Monday, April 11th from 5:30 to 9:00. And you're doing it in collaboration. Well, yeah, sorry, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. It's going to be on Monday, but today is actually our last day for ticket sales.
Oh,
so if
that's
you're
important.
Interested in coming, make sure you get your ticket tonight before midnight.
Mm-hmm. All right, tickets tonight before midnight.
And you can get them online. Our Facebook page is UBC Refugee Relief, and there's links all over that page, and you can figure out the tickets from there.
Yeah, and the event page as well, UBC Refugee Relief Fundraising Gala. So pretty self-explanatory there. Hungry for Change, and that's going to be at the UBC Nest Great Ballroom. So check out the Facebook page so you can get a little bit more information on how to find tickets. And as well, it looks like you're doing it in combination with Oxfam. How did that sort of relationship come to be?
So Oxfam is another group that's, you know, just dedicated to just the well-being, you know, of lots of different groups of people. And they were very interested in this. So we approached Oxfam and wondering if they'd be able to sort of, just help cooperate with us. And we could just sort of, you know, engage in synthesis and just combine our forces for the power of good.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're going to be just helping you out with sponsorship and...
That's right. And they're helping, you know, bring in some great speakers for the event as well. And yeah, it's all going to work together in synchrony. Yeah.
That's great. And so how did you, when you were working to make this project happen, sort of where did you start? Because it's sort of an overwhelming, I think, at the beginning of the year, the overwhelming thing to take on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually went through many different stages and ideas of what this would end up looking like. First, we thought, it's going to be a great, we're going to get a bunch of millionaires in a room and, we'll have it at, the fanciest room in all of Vancouver. And then we realized we're student.
Checked your budget.
Yeah, exactly. So it went through a lot of different stages and we realized we're students. So we should definitely, be inviting fellow students to come and take part in this because, we really feel like that's where our greatest roots lie. And... yeah, so that's really where we ended up.
Where you came from there. Mm-hmm. And so you wanted to make it as approachable for students as possible.
Exactly.
So what kind of ways did you try to make that happen?
So all throughout the different events we had, they've all been held on campus. And this one is also going to be held on campus right here in the Nest. We've tried to sort of schedule our timetable right after the end of classes and right at the beginning.
Right.
Right before exams start.
Not when everything's too bad.
Yeah. But
in a nice window.
But more than any of that, we've really tried to make the event like UBC students are very intelligent and very, very open to the world and very well informed. So we wanted this event to be something that they could actually get behind because a lot of people are passionate about the Syrian refugee crisis. So we wanted it to, be something that would be edifying and constructive for everyone who participates in.
Sounds incredible. So we'll be hearing more and more from UBC Refugee Relief in just a few minutes. Before we do that, though, we're going to just hear a few ads and PSAs. Be right back.
I like Star Trek.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
I love The Lord of the Rings.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm into obscure 1950s atomic monster movies.
Sure.
I really enjoyed the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles.
We can work with that. Here at the UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, we accept everyone. We have weekly movies, game nights, and the largest non-academic library at UBC. Come by our club room, 3206D in the Ness. It's a great place to eat lunch, hang out,
and procrastinate.
Check out our Facebook group, UBC Sci-Fi and Fantasy Society, to find out what's going on.
On Saturday, April 16th, CJSF and CITR are bringing you Record Store Day, a full noon to 7 p.m. broadcast from locations all around Vancouver. There will be live bands, interviews, prizes, and more at your favorite locations. Beat Street, Vinyl, Red Cat, and Neptune. Come on down or tune in on Saturday, April 16th on CJSF 90.1 FM or CITR 101.9 FM.
Goodbye.
And that was Givers with Bermuda from their newest album. And so we're coming back with UBC Refugee Relief, and we're talking about their great event, their gala that's going to be coming up on Monday. Before we keep talking about that, Ahmed is going to show us a little bit of what can be looked forward to if you head to the gala.
All right, so I'll play this small piece of music. It's one of the most favorite songs and, you know, most popular in the Arabic world. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of a good taster of what songs to or what kind of music to expect at the gala dinner.
Oh, fantastic. So I just have a couple questions about the instrument itself, because it's fascinating. It's beautiful, and you've got this kind of interesting white pick thing. So what is that sort of, I don't know, I'm just, what does it really do, and what is it really about this instrument? It's beautiful.
Yes, so what is really different about this instrument, first of all, it comes in pairs of strings. So not like as the guitar, you have only one string. It comes as a pair of strings, and you play with this stick. So this is what makes the sound really richer. And since the hand of the guitar itself is kind of small, so you'll have all of these, like, it's going to be easy for you to maneuver and produce all of these beautiful notes.
And I noticed how in the song there was a lot of doubles. Like, mm-hmm. Is that very common in that sort of type of music?
I think so, yes, because once you go down the string, you kind of like to go up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it gives also this beat, you know, in the Arabic music.
Yeah, that makes it's always kind of moving forward, kind of sense of momentum.
Yeah.
And how did you start playing this instrument?
Oh, I started back in the high school. Yeah, so I kind of start, you know, not at the perfect age to learn music, but still, I underwent 2 years of really intensive private lessons, and afterwards I went on my own.
Wow, it's an incredible instrument. And so why did you decide to pick this one up rather than, you know, piano or whatever else a kind of teenager wants to pick up?
Yeah, so for me, you know, I started learning music at the age of 17, and really to maybe play the piano professionally, you kind of have to start on an earlier age. So for me, it was easier to start with this instrument, and my musical teacher at my high school, he used to play the oud, so he offered me to teach me this instrument, and that's how it started.
Yeah, it's a beautiful instrument. Thank you so much for sharing your music with us.
For sure.
And so what, my other last really sort of silly question is, how do you spell oud?
Yeah, it's O-U-D.
It's just O-U-D, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking a lot of O's are involved.
Yeah,
or
it's OUD. Just go to YouTube, type OUD, and you'll find really awesome tracks out there.
If you're looking for some more OUD to check out. So that's going to be, Ahmed is going to be playing that at the UBC Refugee Relief Hungry for Change Gala on Monday, but tonight is the last night to buy tickets at midnight. So go to the Facebook page right now and go and buy some tickets. And I, like, from what I've been hearing so far, I don't think you'll regret it. So go give that a shout right on the internet right now. I know you have internet near you, someone. So go do it. All right. So tell us a little bit more about this project that you're working on. You've been working all year to raise money for this one family. So tell us a little bit about the family in this project.
Sure. So the family that we're working to raise money for, it's a family of eight, and it's three brothers and one sister, and their spouses, and then a two-year-old little girl. And one of our group members actually knows the family personally. They used to do field work in Syria, and they'd always go back, and they'd stay with the same family when they do field work, and they got to know them really well, and the family would help with the field work, and so it became a really friendly and intimate relationship between them. And then when the conflict broke out in 2011, contact was actually lost with the family, and then it took 4 years before the contact was reestablished, and they found out that the family had now fled to Beirut, and they were living in a parking lot in the outskirts of Beirut, and that they'd been living there for a few years as refugees. And at that point, the group member who knows the family went to Beirut and went to see them and talk with them and see how they were doing. And the family asked at that point to be sponsored to come to Canada. So there's eight of them that were asked to be sponsored, and we've been working all year to fundraise for this family and for the sponsorship of this family. And what that means is that we help get together money to bring the family to Vancouver, and then we help pay for all of their needs as they settle in. So we help pay for their rent and for their food, transportation, clothing, furniture, all that kind of stuff that you need as a newcomer to Vancouver. And we do that for as long as they need before they can be self-sufficient. And usually people, when they come to Canada, they want to be as self-sufficient as possible, as quickly as possible. So the government of Canada estimates that that time period is about 1 year, but we want to make sure that we can actually support them for as long as they need. A lot of the family members, they're young and they're looking for work and they're looking for some training, and so we want to be able to also help them with that and help them maybe in trade school or if they want to take courses at UBC. And they're also, they don't speak English yet, so we're going to be making sure that we can provide them with English classes. And so all of these costs we're fundraising to be able to support them and make sure that the integration goes really well. And then, yeah.
It sounds incredible. And it's really beautiful that you're going to be able to follow this family along in their journey. Is there any way that you're going to be kind of documenting sort of what's going on, or some other way to just follow the family a little bit?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page for the people who are really involved. And that kind of talks about, so far it's only been like, oh, the papers for the application have been processed.
Yeah.
We sent them to Winnipeg and they got through. And so now they're in Beirut and they're just waiting to be interviewed. So it's all these kinds of little updates, and hopefully they'll be moving along. And we're hoping to have the family here by the end of 2016. And I think everybody in our group and everyone else that's kind of been supporting and fundraising for this family is just really excited to meet them and to have them here.
And all the hard work kind of come to be in these people. Like, it's kind of such a beautiful project, because you get at the end, you get to meet new people. Like, what a beautiful way to sort of, like a natural reward is just to meet really, really interesting new people and bring them over to a different country and experience new things. And it's very exciting.
Yeah, and one of the things I really like about the idea of private sponsorship, which is actually, for anybody who's out there who's interested in this, it's actually possible for anyone to be a private sponsor of a refugee family. And what I really like about this idea, Canada's the only country where you can actually do this. And it gives a permanent solution to something. And I feel like looking at the news, you can always kind of feel like, oh, like what's going to happen? And now, I mean, they're sending refugees back to Turkey, and it's absolutely just a disaster. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with private sponsorship, sometimes you feel like maybe you're not affecting that big of a group of people. But when you think about it, we're going to be giving a brand new home and a brand new place to live and something permanent for eight people, which is not the whole world, doesn't change the whole world. But it is something concrete, and it's a permanent solution, and so
I'm excited
about it.
It's basically two generations of a family that's going to be going to be in Canada for hopefully for a very long time and going to like grow their families up and experience sort of, so, you know, you can say it's just eight people, but really it's going to be a lot more than that because it's going to be this sort of legacy of this family that has now moved to Canada. I mean, imagine in however long and they'll be like, you know, remember the day when we got to come to Canada. And that's, yeah, I think that's really beautiful. It's all the future of their family and their people are going to be able to get this experience because of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can also think about it as having sort of like ripple effects. Like, oh, wow, did you hear there's a Syrian family? Mm-hmm. I just met them. Like, man, maybe I should help do something about it, you know? And it kind of has that awesome ripple effect. But also to go back to what Katrina was saying about sort of like how it's a permanent solution. I've actually spoken with the staff at the European Union or the European Commission, and they said they're having issues in Germany with like they're doing a lot of like this first stage, like, you know, let's get them the rent, the food, you know, the water they need, but they're not really being able to successfully integrate these refugees into their community. So they're having problems with, you know, teaching them German and having them, you know, actually start working and contributing to the community, which is the long-term permanent solution. The great thing about this is that's what we would be implementing, mm-hmm. is that integration.
Is that sort of next step going even further and getting them help to be a part of the community as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And so this is the first initiative that this kind of group has worked on. And so what has been your experience in doing this? You know, the pitfalls, the highs, the lows. Do you have any sort of moments of epiphany or moments of complete loss that you have that really stand out?
It's going to take a bit more thought because I have to reflect on the year. I think moments of epiphany or moments where things are going really well is just when we've been working on these fundraising events and we go to an event and it just turns out really well. And you just kind of see everything come together and see the hard work that people in the group have been doing and it just works out. And that's, I think, those are really great moments. I think for me, it's also been really rewarding to just hear progress about how it's going with the family. Just hear that, oh yeah, their application went through and this is how they're feeling. And there's the sister and her partner, they're hoping to have they're trying to have a child. So those kinds of, that kind of news that these are people who have lives and it's moving and it's really touching. And then I guess difficult moments, I mean, putting on events is always difficult. And I think just the organization leading up to that, there's always struggles in terms of, oh, do we have everything we need? Are we doing enough marketing? Just all of these
things. Is anyone going to show, right? That's always the panic.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. So I think those have been some of the struggles just when you organize things, I think. I think anyone who's organized an event can probably relate to that there's always a little bit of struggle leading up to an event. And then usually it's been really great when the event happens and it's just like, oh, yeah, if everything fell into place.
Yeah, it all worked out, all my worries.
Yeah.
But that's why you worry, because then it all works out and you know, it was worth the worry in some way. And so this is your last project of this year. What is it going to be looking for like going forward?
So that's a really good question. We don't actually know. We're going to have our final meeting in a week from now. And because the group kind of started out of nothing and didn't really have any long-term plans other than to do something for the refugee crisis, I think that's the discussion we're actually going to have next week with our group and everybody who's contributed throughout this year, all the amazing people who have helped. I think we want to have that discussion with everybody and see how everyone's feeling and what everybody wants to do. So I can tell you in a week, but
yeah, absolutely.
We don't actually know at the moment.
No, that's great. And it's malleable. It's ever changing. Like the year is just finishing. So now's a good time to sort of make those changes. All right. So we'll be coming back in just a minute or two to talk a little bit more, to wrap up with the UBC Refugee Relief before we finish off the student special hour. Before we do that, and take a little break and play Islands back into it.
We haven't sung them so long, I'll sing one with you now. First, tell me how much I care for biting my tongue. I kept my mouth shut, but still I got stung. So, all gone. How do you do it? You put
just to make it now. Yeah, I got down, propped it up, but right away it fell. It ain't too hard to tell that it's all gone. How do you do it? You put your back into it. So me, a sense enjoyer, materialist. But you're never gonna tell me what I can say. You're never gonna take my wings away now. It's all gone.
It's all gone.
How do you do it?
How do you do it?
You put your face. Sing. We haven't sung them in so long. I'll sing one for you now.
Saskatoon singer-songwriter Jen Lane has just released her new album, This Life of Mine, and you're invited to help celebrate.
It's been hard moving on.
Produced by Vancouver's own, the critically acclaimed John MacArthur Ellis, the new record is a testament to songcraft and the power of music. Spend an evening with Jen Lane on Friday, April 8th at 8 p.m. at Café du Soleil on Commercial Drive, and get a copy of This Life of Mine to take home with you. For advance tickets or to order the album, head on over to jenlane.com.
This is Femme Concept.
Femme Concept.
Femme Concept.
You are listening to Femme Concept
with your hosts Eleanor
and Erica.
Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. on CITR.
On CITR Radio 101.9.
We play 100% FemCon.
100%.
It's a lot of FemCon.
It's a lot of FemCon. And you know what? Stick it to the man.
All right, so we're finishing up here on the student special hour. We've got UBC Refugee Relief, and we're just talking a little bit last kind of wrap up about their gala that's happening on Monday. So take it away, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Eric, and I'm part of the UBC Refugee Relief Club. We are hosting a gala. The fundraising is going to be to support and help bring over a family of eight who are currently living in a parking lot in Lebanon. So we would love to have them over and support them. So this gala is going to be taking place next Monday. It'll be 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., and it is going to be incredible. So there's going to be a delicious Syrian-inspired dinner prepared by the Kasbah restaurant. The event will first begin with acoustic Arabic music played by Ahmed on the oud. Drinks will be served, including just a bunch of different bunch of different kinds of beverages. There's going to be a panel of UBC professors who will be talking about everything from Middle Eastern politics, culture, to history. There's going to be a discussion. There's going to be a spoken word. It is just going to be an all-around amazing cultural event. Moreover, you'll have the chance, yes, you, to bid on artwork, spa packages, BC Lions tickets, fashion accessories, cooking classes, everything. And there is going to be some nice jazz music as well. So the dress code is semi-formal, and today is your last day to buy tickets. So make sure you do that. You can buy that on the fundraising gala event page on Facebook. So just go ahead and search UBC Refugee Relief Fundraising Gala, and you can find all the links there.
I would just hire you right now. I don't have a job, but yeah, you're just, it's or like an infomercial. I'd buy what you're selling. You sound great. Natural radio voice over here. Eric told you all of the details that you need to know about this awesome gala that's going on. And if that didn't convince you, I don't know what else will, because that was just pristine. So if anyone wants to get involved with the UBC Refugee Relief, Katrina, do you have a little bit more information on how they could do that?
Yeah, so you can find more information about our group either on Facebook, UBC Refugee Relief, or we have a website, ubcrefugeerelief.wordpress.com, or you can email us directly at ubcrefugeerelief@gmail.com. So I think as long as you remember the UBC Refugee Relief, you're good to go.
Yeah, you're pretty much. And it's an easy one, I think. It's not. Yeah. It rolls off the tongue quite well. So UBC Refugee Relief, Katrina, Eric, and Ahmed have been here in the studio with me this morning, and it's been really, really great treat to hear about this project that you're doing. If you want to follow them and everything that they're doing, you can again check out all these great websites that Katrina mentioned there, the Facebook page, website, or email them directly, ubcrefugeerelief@gmail.com. So that's these are some great opportunities. Get involved, or even just go on Monday purely for the food and the music. I mean, like, if you're just looking at the very basics of an awesome night, there's a winner right there, as well as supporting a really great cause and everything else. Well, thank you so much for coming in the studio, guys.
Thank you very
Thanks
much,
Thanks so much for having us.
Awesome. So we're going to be just finishing off the rest of the student's bachelor hour by talking about a couple events that are coming up this week and throughout the next week overall, as well as tonight. We've got Block Party coming up. Talk a little bit about that. Before we get into that, we're going to be taking a break, listening to Kiera Gold. And, of course, there's a commercial. It's a Subway commercial. I'm going to talk because instead of listening to the Subway commercial, I hope everyone on the radio is doing well because I don't want to play this commercial. Does anyone else have something to share in these 5 seconds? Oh, just kidding. Okay, there we are. Unseated, and you're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from the unceded traditional territory of the Hakamine-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Lucy, and we're here back once again on the Student Special Hour, talking about some events that are coming up. This is the final section of my show, last 10 minutes, where I tell you a little bit about what is going on this week, or at least some of the things that have come across my table. So there, today, actually, the soonest event that I have here is going to be here at CITR in the studios. We have Roka Code coming in to play a set for us. So that's going to be really great. That's going to be coming up on Radio Dave, Dave Radio, and that's going to be a great show in itself. As well, tonight, AMS Block Party starts at about 2 p.m. and goes till about 9 p.m. There's tons of great acts happening and still some tickets being sold. They say about 75% of general admission are sold out. They're at the general tier, which is about $30 plus service charge, limit about 2 tickets per student. They've got 7 hours of music, it looks like, tons of food trucks, and there's going to be beer and cider, as well as amazing music. So some of the bands that are going to be playing or performers that are going to be playing. We've got Melt, who is a love of mine, a good favorite of mine. And as well, we've got MGH. Then after that, Leighton Kramer, Vince Staples, Oh Wonder, and ending off with a DJ set by Lido. So it's going to be a great night all together. This is going to be at the UBC Thunderbird Arena. Thunderbird Stadium, 6288 Stadium Road. Tickets are basically range about $20 to $48, but you can probably go online right now and get them for about the $30 tier. Once again, it's going to be from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. and celebrate the last day of classes in style. Go out, have a few drinks, party around the AMS Block Party. It's a beautiful day out, so I know there's a bit of a sort of curse upon the Block Party. Almost always it ends up raining, but today it's looking pretty prime, so I think it might be okay. As well, we've got tons of other events coming up, happening this week to finish off the semester. On Sunday, April 10th, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Norm Theater, there's going to be the UBC a cappella final concert. As this is going to be called Fantastic Beats and Where to Find Them. They've got their event is covered in hilarious puns. So I'm going to read this little one out to you. I think it's just brilliant. Do you regularly find yourself sipping from the goblet of choir on a Friday night? Tired of searching the music building for that ever elusive philosopher's tone? Well, hang on to your sorting hats. It's UBC a cappella's year-end concert. Fantastic Beats and Where to Find Them. You won't want to miss the musical, magical two-show extravaganza featuring Coral Reef, Fermata UBC, the Unaccompanied Minors, and the Undeclared Majors, as well as very special guest UBCO Beats. So once again, lots of Harry Potter puns to be had. $5 for students, Hogwarts or otherwise. $8 is general. Doors are at 1:30 for the matinee show. Evening show is at about 6, with doors at 5:30. So 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. are the show times. So lots of a cappella to be enjoyed. As well, there's going to be a Krav Maga bar fight seminar. This is by UPC Krav Maga and Advanced Self-Defense Club. And they're going to be running an event this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12:30 at the Pit Pub, on basically how to defend yourself in a sort of bar scrappy environment. I obviously know nothing about this sort of event, but it looks incredibly cool. $25 each if you buy one or more ticket, and then it's about $30 otherwise. It's going to be, it says from 11 to 5 p.m. My apologies. Free Timbits will be provided on Saturday, April 9th, 2016, 10 a.m. to 2:30 is when they're going to be doing, I think, sign-in and everything. So go check that out. There's going to be tons of going on and at the Pit Pub with the Krav Maga Bar Seminar. And finally, they've got the MSA's Muslim Student Society or Association, UBC's wrap-up with a W. So they're going to be having wraps and raps. A lot of puns are really loved in these events today, so you can take with that what you will. So tons of really great stuff going on for them. They're going to be wrapping up the semester, trying to basically take a break from all that's going on in terms of papers and exams, and they want to give you an opportunity to enjoy your last day or so of, of classes of freedom, I guess, before you start on that study grind. So we're so that's sort of what is going on with that one as well. So tons of other events going on throughout UBC, workshops and more. But I know everyone's kind of got their nose to the grindstone for this last little section. So if you want to party it up, check out Block Party as well as Krav Maga on Saturday, UBC A Cappella on Sunday, the UBC Refugee Relief Event Gala on Monday, and then as well, CITR has Rococo coming in at noon today. So all of those are available to you. All right, so that we're all done for the student special hour today. Next up, we have Nelly coming in with the Cat's Pajamas, and we're just going to finish off with Max Frost, Let Me Down Easy. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.
Well, it's cold, the lake is frozen. She floats across at night. No bracing to be broken. I know her heart's not mine. So if you're gonna let me down, let me down easy. And if you're gonna let me down, let me know right now. And if you're gonna let me down easy. Gonna let me down, let me know right now. Ooh. Ooh. Before the words are spoken, I know what's on your mind. So now it's in the open. Don't wanna know why. Cause if you're gonna let me down easy. And if you're gonna let me know right now. And if you're gonna let me down, then let me down easy. Gonna let me down, let me know. Cause I have to know. Cause I have to.